Deuteronomy 30, reading from verse 11. And the context for the reading is that Moses, the leader of the people of God, stand before them to encourage them and to give them hope. Sometimes we hear God's word, sometimes we hear words of challenge or encouragement, and our response is, it's impossible. Can't do it. What lies before the people of God is a journey of trusting God. And so Moses speaks to them. Deuteronomy 30, reading from verse 11. And he says, now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And so we continue this brief series of reflections, faith, hope, and love. And today we focus particularly upon hope. Our hope as Christians is based upon Jesus. All that Jesus was and is and will be. And if it is true that we are lacking in hope, I want to gently suggest to us that the reason we lack in hope is because our eyesight's not very good. Now you look at me and you say, what do you mean? Our eyesight's not good. It's about vision. It's about what we see. We read, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. And we might say, well, I would try. If I could see, if I could physically see Jesus, then I would fix my eyes upon him. But of course, it's a way of saying, fix your attention, your focus, your purpose, all that you are, fix that upon Jesus, what you know of Jesus. And when we understand who Jesus is, and that is not a fixed thing, our understanding, we grow in our understanding, we change our understanding, we evolve in our understanding of who Jesus is, from day to day and week to week and year to year, as we understand and grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, so our hope evolves. Our hope changes because we see who he is and what he offers to us. And hope is something that lives in the future, but we build it in the present. Hope is not something that we say, well, it's far off and we're just going to ignore whatever it is that we hope for. It is something we receive as being true in the future and say, well, I'm going to live in the light of what is not yet. If that is true one day, I'm going to live in the light of it today. Living today to make tomorrow a reality. That's what hope, Christian hope, is about. And the Apostle Paul writes, and the Lord encourages us to fix our hope on the Lord Jesus, all that he is, all that he has done, and our lives in the present are transformed. And the first encouragement is this: choose life. Choose life. Moses says to the people of God, I lay before you life and death. And then he says, I think, beautiful words, choose life. As if they had to be encouraged, choose life. You've got life or death. What's the choice? Now choose life. Choose life. This is our hope because Jesus is alive. God has raised Jesus from the dead, and God is the God of the living. And we are encouraged. Choose life. Choose life, not just over death. Choose life over what I call deathliness. What I mean by this is it seems to me that we don't always choose life in life, because death casts its shadow over us. And that is negativity and division. That is hatred and deliberate ignorance. It is setting people against people. It is choosing violence over non-violence. These are all the things of death, of deathliness. And the encouragement for us is to have hope in the Lord Jesus, who chose life at every step of his life. And we're encouraged to choose life even now. And this is about vision. It's about saying, one day there will be life and no more death. You know, I remember when I was growing up, so many of the hymns we sang were kind of anticipations of a glorious day. And it might have been true for you as well. Anticipations of a glorious day when there would be no more crying, there would be no more sickness, no more death. But one day, everything would be changed. And that is our hope. And if we have vision, if we see that, then we choose life in the present and say, well, I'm not going to wait for life. I'm going to choose it right here and right now, in anticipation of the day when it is real. And so we're encouraged in hope. Choose life. Choose life in your relationships. Choose life in your workplace. Choose life in your work. Choose life in your relaxation time. Choose life wherever you are. The life and the love and the light of God. Choose wholeness. Choose wholeness. A deliberate choice. One day, and it might, you know, I know it's a stretch sometimes when we look at ourselves in the mirror, but one day we will be truly whole. Don't you look forward to that day? And you think, one day. Surely, isn't this what the Bible promises, anticipates in hopefulness? One day, we will be truly whole. All that God created me to be, I will know it. We're encouraged in hope to choose wholeness today. Personal, communal, and global. Because we have a vision of how it will be one day. And we choose that and choose to live in the light of that and say, I choose wholeness today. We choose it for ourselves. That's personal. We choose it for ourselves. We choose to be the best that we can be. We choose to put down the negative habits, the negative words, the division that we have accepted as normal in our own lives. We put it down and we say, I want to live in wholeness. I will put down everything I need to, all the negativity, all the darkness, all the shadows in my own life. And we choose wholeness in terms of our communities, whatever communities we live within. And we say, there will be a day when there will be no more division. And so we choose that today. We choose wholeness for our communities today. And if there is anything in me that separates me from others, that divides me from others, that anything within me that causes me to walk by on the other side, I say, I put that down because I want, not just personally, selfishly, to live in that wholeness. I want our community to live in that wholeness as well. And it's a very trivial thing, and I recognize it's not for everybody. But on my way here, when I walked here this morning, I lost count with a number of people I said hello to. And some people, you know, maybe us sometimes, we walk past, you know, staring at the floor. Here comes the loony, he's going to say hello to me. Let's try and avoid him. What am I doing? I'm choosing wholeness. I'm choosing connection with people I've never met before. The number of times I've stopped in the street, and again, this is not for everybody, and said, are you okay? Can I help you? You know, because somebody's just standing there, either in the middle of the street or something. And people, I met somebody yesterday. His name's Eric. See him from time to time. I don't really know anything about him. But I just remember years and years ago, just meeting him, breaking down the division, making connection, because I believe one day our communities will be whole and complete, and globally as well. I was reading this week of an astronaut who returned from the space station that is orbiting the Earth, and he'd been up there, I think, I don't know, it was 100 days or 150 days or something, a long space of time. And his message was, we are living a lie. And immediately, that catches your attention. I'm living a lie? What's that about? And he said, we are living the lie of the borders that are in between us. And we think we are so different from those who live the other side of a border, an international national border. We think we are better than them. We think we can attack them. We can denigrate them, destroy them. When you're in space and you look down on the earth, you realize the borders are a nonsense. And we live that lie. And because we see that there will be a day when people from every nation, every tribe and tongue, every color, every background will stand before the throne of God and sing praises. And there will be no division, but there will be wholeness. Because we see that, today we say the borders are a nonsense. We live that. And that's why any idea of Christian nationalism is an abomination. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so in hope because we see and we believe there is a better day. And then we're encouraged to choose justice. We're encouraged to choose justice. Why? Because one day there will be justice. And this isn't equality, this is equity. This is equity. This is about correcting imbalance. Now, we might think of this in terms of, it's easy to do in terms of finance, for example, the rich and the poor, and say, okay, there will be a day when there won't be the rich and the poor, but we will all have enough. We will all have what we need. Not too much, not too little. We will all have enough. And it may be that for us, because we see a day of justice, we see today I will seek to live in equity. To make sure that not only is it true for me that I have enough, but my neighbour also has enough, whoever my neighbour happens to be. But then we look around our world and we see in so many practical ways inequity, not just in terms of finance, but in terms of food and water and opportunity and housing and hope. And because we see there will be a day when everyone will stand together, then we say, on the basis of what has been planted in our hearts, this hope in Christ, we choose today justice, equity. What do I need to do today to live the reality of this hope? And I want to say that the more we step into this hope, the better it is for us, because we become more human. We become more the person God created us to be. It is not a bad thing. It is not something we're being forced to against our will, but it's something that releases us. We are encouraged to choose justice. Some people, even within our own society, are considered lesser. Some people have laws written against them because of who they are. Some people are preached against from a pulpit or a lectern such as this because of who they are. But there will be a day when their difference won't matter. And so we live on the basis of what we see and what we hope for. And then we are encouraged to choose peace. We're encouraged to choose peace. Peace lies the other side of justice. peace lies the other side of justice. Because there is a type of peace that I guess we are perhaps familiar with. And certainly I have heard being spoken about, certainly on the other side of the Atlantic from time to time, but elsewhere as well. And it's a peace that we say, well, we're going to annihilate our enemy and then we'll have peace. Ever heard that? You know, we'll go to war, we'll beat them, and then we'll have peace. And here's the thing. If we want peace, then the journey we take to peace must also be peaceful. If we want justice, then the journey we take from here to there must also be just. And it applies in so many ways. If we want respect, the journey we take from here to there must be respectful. There is that saying, isn't there? The end justifies the means. You know that? The end does not justify the means. The end does not justify the means. Why have I chosen non-violence? And I know some of you it baffles some of you. Why have I chosen non-violence? It's an act of hope. It's an act of hope. I deliberately choose non-violence. And the way to non-violence, a future where there is not violence, the way to that place of non-violence, the way to peace, is non-violence. And that is the challenge to each one of us. And it's only by choosing justice and deliberately choosing peace that we cultivate true community, where everyone is seen, everyone is heard, everyone is honoured, everyone is respected, everyone is valued. Because there is justice, there is equity, and there is peace. And all of this requires a shift within us. Some things we need to take up, some things we need to put down. We need to choose, but we also need to lose some things. And the final one is this: choose stewardship. Choose stewardship. When I was young, I was taught that there will be a day when Jesus would appear and whisk me away from this world to heaven or something. And it was based on a doctrine that you might have heard of called the rapture. Now, the doctrine of the rapture was invented in the 19th century. It's not really a biblical idea. It's a misquoting, a misinterpretation. But the idea that we would all be raptured away to some glorious place and earth would go to hell. That's what I was taught. And I've come to realize how wrong that is. And what the Bible, the picture of the Bible, the story that the Bible tells is God returning to earth to restore what he has created. And the Apostle Paul himself says God was in Christ reconciling, the literal word is reconciling the cosmos to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the entire cosmos to himself. And there was a time when I meditated upon that and I thought, crikey, what does that mean? God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos. Not just men and women, boys and girls, What if God? What if God's plan, the vision he sets before us, is of all humanity reconciled? Of all the animals reconciled? Of all materiality reconciled to God in its place? What if the vision that God places before us is of this earth radiating glory because it is stewarded, looked after as it was always intended to be looked after? What if that is the vision God places before us? And some of you will be environmentally minded, ecologically minded. You will be concerned about the environment and what we are doing and about climate change and all these things, and rightly so. And it is part of our hope. We choose stewardship. We say we look after this earth because it is God's earth. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and looked out upon all he had created and said, it's good. It is good. And then finally God said, do you know what? That doesn't quite do it. God said, it's very good. And humanity is called to steward what God has made. And so in hope and in anticipation of a better day, we choose. We choose life. We choose wholeness. We choose justice. We choose peace. We choose stewardship. We do so deliberately and intentionally because we believe in Jesus. Because we believe in Jesus and we have set our sights on Jesus, we choose hope. And hope, we are told, will not disappoint us because it's set on him. There is a hope. There is a hope that we find in Jesus that will change our thinking. It will change our lives. It will change our perspectives and our relationships. It will change our working practices. It will change our habits once it gets a hold of us. And there is a hope that we have in the Lord Jesus that is transformative, that makes us ever more human, ever more the person God created us to be. And we become ever more free as we choose the hope of Jesus. Let's pray together.